many
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 35.
That's what I just said.
Yep. We're going to review the.
Good morning. I call to order the Committee on Budget and Appropriations with a quorum present. We were supposed to have a joint meeting with Public Works, Transportation, Labor, and Parks, but we would be lacking a quorum, so they're going to have to take care of this business at a different time when the chairman is back. All right, we're going to move to item number one on the agenda, four digit 3305, and this is all Westchester Community College items. And it is my understanding, Sally, and confirmed this, that the subcommittee on capital project review all of these items. All right. And for the college, whoever's joining you, and for the record, if you could introduce yourselves, I would appreciate it very much.
I'm Pat Tiamperi. I'm the Vice President, Dean of Administrative Services. With me today, I have Mario Cavalli, our controller, and Kevin Garvey, our Director of Facilities. Thank you very much for meeting with us on our four capital projects that affect the community college. What I'd like to do, if it works with for the board, is discuss just briefly the four capital projects that are before you. I'll give you a little brief description of what they are, the amounts, and then whatever questions that the board has, please feel free.
All right, so you'll cover all four for all discussion four. Purposes.
Okay. And then whatever questions you may have, please feel free to ask.
Right.
We have four capital projects. Let's start with the first one, WCC 56, which is the physical education field improvements. There are two fields that we are proposing to do work on. The first is the West Field, and the second is Barrett Field. And what we're looking to do in the West Field is that field is where our baseball field and our soccer field is. And what we're looking to do is install drainage there to make those fields viable year-round. Those fields really are not viable to be used year-round because of the drainage systems.
Can't close the door. Can't leave the door.
I'll just tell.
Whenever we have heavy rains, not even heavy rains, but whenever we have rains, those fields flood, and they're really not usable. So that's what the drainage will be used for. We will then install new sod, new dugouts, and an access road that can be used for emergency vehicles and maintenance vehicles to service those fields so that they're not driving over the newly created fields. The second part is Barrett Field. Barrett Field, what we would do is the same thing. Install drainage to make those fields viable throughout the year, new bleachers, new sod, and new lighting. The total cost for that project is $2,766,000. Of course, the state shares in half of that cost. So $1,433,000 would be for the state, and the county would share in $1,433,000 as well. Okay, and the state is in the process of bonding for that project as we speak. The second project is WC57, which is the utility infrastructure project. This is the final phase of that project. And initially, when that project was created, as many of you know, some of the buildings that are on the campus date back to 1930. With the original utilities. And as the campus has expanded and new buildings have been created or buildings have been expanded, really very little has been done to the underground utilities. And that is sanitary systems, water, gas, and electric. So what this project, and again, this is the final phase of this project, is this project will coordinate with the Student Center Improvement Project, which this board passed the bonding for at their 9-7 meeting. This project will coordinate with that student center to make all those connections so that we don't have to dig up facilities twice. We don't want to have to dig up the land and the land improvements and the building infrastructure more than once, because honestly, that will cost us more money. So we're going to try to coordinate, and we want to coordinate that project twice. That's why it's important for us to pass that, for the board to pass this at this point. The total cost of this project is $1,079,000. Of course, the state shares in half of that. So that's $539,500 that the state would pay for, and $539,500 that the county will pay for. The state has already bonded for their share, so it's just the county at this point. The third project is WCC68, the Administration Improvement Project. The administration was built in 1986, so that building is over 25 years old. The building itself is in good working condition, so nothing needs to be done at this point with the outside of the building. This bonding is really for the inside of the building mechanicals. So that is boilers, plumbing, electrical, lighting. All that has really, none of that work has really been done, and now we want to, and so it's really all outdated equipment. So we needed to put in new, more efficient equipment that will save us money in our operating budget ultimately. We have done a lot of that work in some of our other buildings. The board has been very, very good in improving those projects, as has been the state, and we have seen the benefits of that in our utility budget, as you saw in when we passed our, when the budget board passed our budget for 2010-2011. This is what we would like to do with this project as well. In addition, there's some plumbing work that needs to be done. All the flooring in this building, or a lot of the flooring, needs to be replaced because it's over 20 years old. Also, all of the building hardware, graphic signage, and automatic door openers need to be installed in this building in order to make it ADA compliant. The total cost of this project is $2,768,000, which would be paid for by the state, and $1,384,000, which would be paid for by the county. And the final
Is the state already bonded for this also?
The state is in the process of bonding. It's been approved by the state, and the state is in the process of bonding. The final project is WC-70, which is the physical ed building. Now, this building was built in 1965, and after 45 years of constant physical education that's gone on in this building, it needs some rehabbing. Now, much of the work that's going to be done in this building is similar to what's being done in the administration building. It's the internal parts of the building. So again, electrical, boilers, plumbing work. But in addition, this building has no central air conditioning, believe it or not. So we would be doing some central air conditioning work in this building, installing central air, as well as all of the ADA work that needs to be done. So all the building hardware, automatic door openers, graphic signage in order to make that building ADA compliant. In addition, we would be installing air handlers and ventilation system for the pool. The total cost, and all we're asking for at this point for this building, is $181,000 for design work. That's all we're asking for at this point. So those are the four projects. A little bit of a description. If you have any detailed questions, I have Kevin Garvey, who is our director of facilities, who can answer those. And any other questions you may have, please feel free to answer.
And now, the state already okayed this project, so the other 181 has been bonded for
it has,
already?
The state is in the process of bonding. That's correct. All of these projects that we just discussed, the state has approved and is in the process of bonding for. And in fact, the WCC 57, the state has already bonded their $539,500.
You highlighted that all of these structures would be ADA compliant. Are there any other structures that aren't in the community college at this point and are in line to be brought to compliance?
Health science building would probably be the one that's remaining would have to be brought up to compliance.
But pretty much beyond that, the whole campus would be compliant.
Absolutely.
With ADA requirements.
Yep. We work very closely with the Westchester Office of the Disabled. So.
And as an excellent question, as we do construction on the buildings, we make sure that we bring them up to code.
Correct.
Mr. Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a pretty extensive run. What have you missed? What haven't you done?
Well,
bond rates are low. Let's talk turkey here. Is there more in the pipeline? Obviously, you're getting 50% from the state.
That's correct.
They have their procedures.
That's correct.
And they have their delays. Do you have a pipeline established for projects coming up in the next 2 years?
I'm going to let Kevin get into that, but what we'll talk about is this. We have every 10 years, we do a master plan. We are right now on the tail end of our last master plan, and these projects pretty much take care of our last master plan. We are currently working on our new master plan, which will take us for the next 10 years. Okay? And we'll be prepared to discuss that probably shortly. We need to finish that up with our architects and then discuss with our board and then before this board later on. So it's an excellent question because it never stops. Again, these buildings need to be maintained. There's new work. Our enrollment, thank goodness, has over the last 3 years has gone up significantly. We hope it continues to go up. There's never any guarantees, but we need to, whether it goes up or doesn't go up, we need to maintain the buildings because these buildings are owned by the county. We occupy them, but whenever we don't do work, it costs us more money in the long run. So it's an excellent question, and we will be back to the board when we do the new master plan, which we are working on right now. Kevin, if you want to take that any further.
So next would be health science and a couple other small projects after that. Typically, we're going to be doing the student center. We're almost at the tail end of design for that, so we're going to be doing that work. We're doing the AAB building, arts and academic arts building, this summer. We're finishing the second phase of the science building this summer. This is 2011. And Hartford Hall will also be going on. So once we start with this and we get into design, then that'll be, we're talking about 2012, 2013. Typically, if we wanted to bond all of them, then the state gets a little mad at us if we don't start spending the money. So the, we do all of these projects in-house. So the Student Center is the only project that we have in the pipeline that we're actually hiring a construction manager for. We do all the construction management ourselves, and it saves us a great deal of money. So there's only so many projects that we can handle and keep an eye on, and that's why we're trying to spread them out over a few years. The next master plan that Pat is referring to will start taking us out to 2013, 2014. So that's what we're doing. We're doing as much as we can. And also, the majority of our work is done during the summer, because that's when our lightest load is. We're actually pretty much 365 days a year, except for Christmas and Thanksgiving. But with continuing ed and the increase in classes in continuing ed, there's really no break for us anymore. So we have to do a great deal of our work in the summer. And if we can't, then we have to move people throughout the campus. So that's why we're really not doing everything right now.
I have Mr. Jenkins. Do you want
to follow up just briefly? Sure. A couple of years ago, there were some kerfluffles having to do with project oversight. And as I recall, that was project oversight run by WCC and the Department of Public Works and the real estate czar stepped in on this matter. Do you feel that you, we had a very candid meeting this morning regarding another project having to do with shooting hardware and software in Mount Vernon and Yonkers. So if we could ask you for the same degree of candor, do you feel that you now have the capacity in-house to manage projects in a aggressive way that will hold on to the costs?
Absolutely. None of my projects have gone over, none of the projects that I've been responsible for have gone over budget.
And on schedule?
Well, scheduling is a whole other, there are, we allow for time, but we don't pay for that time. So if there's some delays in the contracts, then yes. But as far as the only one so far that was a little bit off schedule was Gateway. The other projects that we've been managing have been completely on schedule.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I have Mr. Jenkins, Mr. Harkin, then Mr. Agashi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it really was to the point. And for the master plan, when do you expect that we're going to see that? I mean, we're in the throes of doing our capital budget right now. So it would be helpful information for us to be able to have that information before we implemented our capital plan for 2011. So
I think it's a great question. We're still refining it. We have a copy of the master plan, but we're still looking at refining some. We have some questions that we're going to go over in the next couple of weeks, and we'll have to present it to our board. And then once that the board approves it, then we'll be back to the board of legislators.
Is it possible, Mr. Chairman, for us to ask through Pat and through Kevin to the board over at the community college that if they could get to us sooner, and I mean sooner, but like in the next couple of weeks sooner, as far as the 2011 needs, so that we'll be able to have that incorporated in the 2011 master plan.
Given I think there have been some pre-meetings regarding
this. This is not going to be, we're not ready to ask for money for 2011 in the new master plan.
Right.
We're still finishing up with this.
Okay. And how much is left in that, that's left to be done?
Like I said, the big one is the health science building.
How much money?
Health science is 2-3, which means about 1-7 for the county. There's some little things, but I'm not ready to discuss them right now. I'd have to wait.
It's more. If that, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. And I know that there's been some discussions that have been happening in the meetings, but it was more just thinking of the capital budget plan that we.
That would probably be the next big thing. We asked for $75,000 each year to do our surveys and things of that nature. And then whatever's next, the phasing for the security, if I'm not sure if we're finished with step three already. So.
That's right.
Yeah,
we'll and your plan's well taken, Mr. Jenkins. The fact that we have to give you information so that you can plan, you know, for your capital side as well. I mean, there's no doubt. These projects here total, you know, $3.5 million. What we haven't asked for here, because we're only asking for, in the phys ed improvement project, we're only asking for $181,000 for design. Assuming that these all get approved, sometime next year probably, we're going to ask you for $2,098,000 for the construction. So that $2 million plus $1.7 million, you know, we're now talking about another $4 million that we're going to ask for at some point in time in the near future. So it's a great point. After that, we don't think in terms of this master plan that there's a lot of money left over, you know, that's going to come in 2011, 2012. But following that up is going to be a master plan that will have a significant amount of funds that will go over another 10-year period. But it is a good question. But we, you know, again, this after we do this piece, there won't be a lot left from the old master plan.
Just one more on that, Mr. Chairman, and a tie into whether it's federal stimulus or dollars that are for the community colleges, is there money in there for infrastructure as well to expand some of the infrastructure? And that's not a question to answer right now, it's to see if there is, because that may be a necessity that, to legislate Burton's point earlier, that some of those things you are thinking about for the future may need to get rolled up now, because we would be able to get additional support and drive the cost down further, not only because the money is cheap, right?
Absolutely.
But because we are getting additional federal funding to help drive the cost down even more.
Absolutely.
So. And I think it begs the question, are there any funding from ARRA available for community colleges?
The only money that we have from ARRA is for student loans. I mean, with the money we get for financial aid. We're not aware of any money that's coming for capital with respect to ARRA, but certainly something that we would look for.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question sort of follows up on Chairman Jenkins' question, and it has to do with energy efficiency and some of the projects you mentioned, boilers, those kind of things. Have you been working with our partners in NYPA in terms of, A, the most energy efficient, but, B, possible funding streams? Because there's never been as much money for energy efficiency out in the marketplace as there is now.
All of my plans are vetted through NYPA as soon as we're done with the project, which is, I think, what we talked about the last time.
Right.
We have a memo of understanding with NYPA so that they'll look at my projects once we have 90% documents. In fact, we just got our 90s for Student Center, and we're planning on sending them down.
So, right.
And they've come back with most of their comments. We're doing just about everything we can. So
have they been able to identify funding sources for you?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
All right, because, you know, we just know through the utilities, through NYSERDA, through the Department of Energy, getting back to IRA and other things, we know that there's energy efficiency money out there. So I think this being the Budget Committee as opposed to the Environment and Energy Committee, you know, we should be scouring the marketplace for those funds. Thanks.
Mr. Agassi.
Yes, thank you. I think just following up on that, 90%, what is that 90% of what?
It's 90% of completion for the documents. So there's certain phases for construction. You get 50%, 60%, then you get 90%. And 90% is for final comments. And then once the comments come back, we incorporate them, and then they go out for bid.
So this is basically the design for construction papers are 90%.
That's correct.
Yeah, so my concern, Bob, Mr. Harkin raises, you know, the point, NYPA is responding, but, you know, you're 90% done. And it seems to me that, and this is just general, not just the college, generally, if I were looking for input, I want input before you're 90% done, because, you know, everyone's doing their job at NYPA, you know, how tough are they going to get you to turn around? They might see you, you know, it's what you're doing is okay. There might be another whole approach, but you're 90% done, and why should they interfere? I mean, I'm just making that up.
It doesn't really work that way. If they have significant comments, we have absolutely no problems going back to the architect and the engineer and saying we have to change them. That's just the way it is.
I mean, but it's not the system. Is like what we're reading. You're going to upgrade the boilers. You're going to put in new lighting. why doesn't NYPA sit with the architect at the beginning of that process, you know, to help incorporate the value added in the engineering and the designing, not when it's 90. It's easy, it's 90% done. They're looking at what you did, and you're right, they, you know, they may, but I'm just saying they're more inclined to open up their book and say, these are the, your architect may or may not be up on all the LED lighting or whatever. And so I'm just saying input up front. You said that 90%.
Well, I can certainly send them the documents in these projects at 50%
front,
and say, I have
The whole NEPA process, from an environmental point of view, you can't go past 30% of preliminary design. I mean, you know, that work has to be put in before you go down and spend money. I mean, this is not NEPA. You're spending money on that 90%. You're not confined like the NEPA is. But, you know, anyway, the sooner the better. The sooner the better.
Okay.
Because, to let's say Harker's point, a whole different thinking. And there may be no sanitary, there are other issues involved here, but you can slice these out. It's certainly possible on a performance contract to have NYPA, in fact, go out and get a contractor and just, you know, finance it a different way. So it's a whole, so it's not a question of looking at this project coming to us for financing. And I think this almost goes back to like master plan thinking. There's a whole different way of doing the project. Hiring NYPA or someone else saying, you know, you go get it. Here's what we want. You go do it, and we'll pay out of the savings. So I'm just saying, you know, everyone needs to know those other alternatives are there, and hopefully, you know, it's just something else that you've looked at. But let me back up. Let me go to the baseball fields, because you got me, you know, this, you got me at baseball. but I would, I played there once. But I'm curious if we, if you make the fields...
Good to know they have seniors.
Wow. Wow.
I'm playing Cooperstown this weekend, by the way. For a record.
I'll be
at Double Bay Field this weekend.
Are we taping?
With that, I'll bring the film crew up. Great. You're open maybe nights with light nights, new light. Are there lights on the field now? Or you got to be adding? So you're adding lights, drainage year round. What is the policy? Current policy and maybe a new policy with this county funding on opening the fields nights, weekends to outsiders, you know, for a fee, you know, open up to the community, leagues. There are relatively few baseball fields other than schools available in the county for, frankly, a lot of the leagues that are playing baseball now. So is there a college policy on field?
With respect to right now, any outside organization that comes in, you know, puts in paperwork to our college. We look at it. We require a certificate of insurance to make sure that we protect the college. You know, we do charge a small fee. We don't make a lot of money. It's not meant to make money.
Well, that's okay. But you do.
Absolutely.
So with this, with the improvements, nights and weekends, you can maybe in position to do even more.
Absolutely. Just so you know, the policy is that the college comes first, so the classes come first, or the baseball team come first.
Sure.
But if they're not. If nobody's using it, then it's open to the public for use.
Okay.
And we also, the tennis courts are open for the community. And as far as if it's not a league or if it's not a certain group, then it's open to the community for free. So,
which courts do you mention?
The tennis courts behind the gym.
Are they good?
Yeah.
Well, Chairman will check them out.
they're heavily used.
As Mike covered.
Okay, well, hopefully, good. So hopefully this is all done. We'll get some... least playing there.
But to that point, if I may, so there is some evening utilization that you are envisioning to capitalize in even more usage and hopefully more academic teams.
That's right. We do that even now. We have soccer leagues that play over on the weekends that use the fields right now. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, to have a field that's there that could be usable but is really not viable because when it rains, the fields flood. Really doesn't make any sense. It serves no purpose for us. It serves no purpose for the community. Although we have beautiful fields, they can't be used, you know, a lot of the year because we have, you know, we have rain or we have snow. And you know, actually when it's snowing, obviously no one can use the fields. But, you know, in the spring where the snow has melted, those fields, you know, can't be used because they really have poor drainage. And so, you know, we live in the East Coast here. You know, we're going to have inclement weather. But with a better drainage system, we could use those fields a lot more.
Let's talk about putting a bubble on the field.
Can I follow up to that point?
Yeah.
Just a quick follow-up.
Sure.
We fund a lot of legacy projects throughout the county, and one of the things the Parks Department try and does is focus on artificial turf, and I know there have been some environmental discussions back and forth, But in terms of playability and return on investment, it's much higher. So if we're going to be making this investment, and the point is to add to durability and playability, have you considered going to an artificial turf rather than just doing drainage with natural turf?
I'm glad you mentioned it. When this project, and this was long before, and it's a great question, before we actually came here, the project for synthetic turf was looked at, but the cost was exorbitant. So they actually re-looked at it and brought it down to you know, drainage and regular sod. But again, you know, when the architects really initially put this project together, it was for synthetic turf. But I think the project, again, and this thing was back in the 1999 master plan, they re-looked at it, you know, recently, and they went back because the numbers were exorbitant. Now, again, it's something that we could re-look at, but again, I think the cost was a lot more than what we're asking for in this particular plan.
We're not looking to re-sod everything. When we say sod, it's basically the areas that we're going to be ripping up and replacing. The fields, the grass themselves, especially Barrett Field, is in excellent condition, and I'd love to save that as much of it as I can. I don't plan on, you know, scraping it up and then putting the drainage in and then, you know, putting new sod down. Our hope is to use as much of it as possible.
Thank you. Okay, no, thank you. That was good. So in terms of the drainage and the drain, is it a number of dry well? Is water going someplace else, or are you just going to adapt the drainage where it'll be able to sink deeper?
Well, we're going to have to.
Where's the runoff going?
We're going to have to work with the new Speedy's recommendations and regulations for the state as far as water and going into the Bronx River estuaries. So all of our projects now are designed to keep the rain on the site, on our campus. And in case if we get the 100-year storm or the 200-year storm, then, of course, some of it might have to go down into the estuary, but for the most part, all of our projects are being designed to keep rainwater and stormwater runoff on site. So yes, so it'll be a number of dry wells and that kind of systems, culverts, anything that we can to keep it on campus.
It's got to go someplace, right?
Right. Or, but basically, it does have to go someplace, but what we'd like is for it to go down rather than out.
Okay, so that's that. Glad to hear the fields be open. The one project that is for design only, so that's sort of backed up a little bit. The others are all design and construction as I see them. So that to the back to the budget committee, that will be that project at the end of the design will come back to the budget committee.
That's correct.
So again, this will be because we don't, you know, we don't necessarily do this enough or we don't see all the projects, but as this, just to let you know, when that design comes back, because that is on electrical, mechanical upgrades, that, you know, we'll have a chance to look at it and
That's
see
right.
what kind of input you've gotten from NYPA, what you're proposing to do. You know, it just seems to me looking at the marketplace, the technology jump to LED lights, it's out there now, they work, so whatever lighting upgrades, I like to hear from the engineer, you know, why aren't you doing LED lighting? So, but we'll see that design because I'd let you know, we'll have a chance to look at that when it comes back. Great, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other concern or questions from the members? Otherwise, since all items have been discussed, 1-4, a motion would be in order for items.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Mr. Frankman. All in favor of vote for all
aye.
Items?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
All right. We have some minutes, members.
So move.
Second. By Mr. Jenkins, second by Sheila.
I'll be more cut.
No, it's just scary.
Mark cut.
No, that's fine.
And as a final item, we have invited. Let me find my bearings here. Commissioner Oristano, and we are mainly going to discuss this couple of services related to an ANC resolution 13A63. She has agreed to come back with more detail next week regarding further movement on this administrative plan. So, but you can let us know what you are ready to discuss today, and we
I would like to discuss a contract that we'd like to enter into to retain the services of Russ Imlay, who is a former employee of the Human Resources Department. He worked in Human Resources for 22 years as a local jurisdiction analyst. I took office in January of this year and had three employees who worked in the local organizational unit. That unit is responsible for administering civil service for all the local jurisdictions throughout Westchester. I believe there are approximately 121 jurisdictions. Within 7 months of taking office, all three employees retired. I'm basically rebuilding the unit. I have no one in that unit now that has more than a year experience in that area. So I would like to retain Ms. Imlay's services to help me rebuild the unit, to help me train, and also to help me keep the work flowing when we enter the layoff process, because all of the analysts in that unit will be part of the layoff unit. So he's also going to assist me in keeping the work flowing if I can get a contract for him.
You want to ask?
I'm just curious, if I may. We're talking about a layoff unit being created, but I don't think from a budgetary perspective we've agreed to layoffs yet.
No. What the plan is when we agree to the layoffs is that I will have a group of analysts analyzing the layoffs. I need to do that before I can present anything to the committee. I mean, at some point we have to do a layoff analysis.
But I guess it goes back to the question, the carriage and the horse, which
right.
One? Chip, I think you need to do the final decision. Maybe we're not laying anybody off.
Right.
But without doing the analysis.
Analysis was not mentioned.
Oh, okay.
What was mentioned was layoffs. So if we're talking about an analysis, obviously we want to have all the numbers on the table, and
we want to do
due diligence, but that's not what was said.
But the question would be, do you, Mr. Chairman, on that point, from HR's perspective, if there was a budgetary decision that was reached that said that we needed to do a reduction in our workforce, what input would you be giving to that from a budgetary perspective? Right?
I would probably be giving the final analysis of who actually gets laid off. I have to do what's called a bump and retreat analysis under civil service law.
But the question is that from a budgetary purpose, and we certainly understand that and we respect that from the bump and retreat, and I know we're going to have a different meeting to kind of go through the analysis of how does that work in general. But until there is a layoff enacted through the board, right,
sure.
Through the reduction of the fixing of the number of employees for the county, there would not be a necessity to do an analysis of
right.
Who that would be. And if that was done prior to that, I certainly would be a legislator that would have significant questions about why
okay.
Would we be identifying who would get, would we be identifying,
I would like to state,
who would
though,
be identifying individuals, you know, who might be laid off in a scenario that was not enacted. Certainly, after we took the action that whatever necessary that we did from a board perspective and fixed the number of employees, that would
right.
Feed into that. But to do what we've done from a HR perspective in the consolidation proposal, for example, and identify specific roles that might be eliminated in 3 years does not seem like it is the right thing to do from just a personnel perspective, let alone anything else. So.
Okay, I just want to state that it takes approximately
three months
to do this analysis. So if I don't start it now and I wait until the board decides whom they want to lay off, it's going to take me about 3 months from that day to actually finalize the bump and retreat analysis. It's very complicated.
I mean, just ask on that. Just on that point, Mr. Chairman. Last year, when we enacted the 2010 budget, we cut jobs in our 2010 budget. I'm not sure what the number was, but that did require the bump and retreat process to be activated, right? It didn't take 3 months to do it. We didn't approve the budget until
I guess it makes a question.
Well, how many layoffs were there, though? I mean, it depends upon the size.
Well, now we did point, the attrition process. Yeah.
On that point, it's just we try to expedite this. It seems to me that, you know, we don't go first. The administration is preparing their budget. It's going to be hypothetical. I want to lay off 600 people. But, you know, if the administration is going to propose something, they need to have information, because you may want to lay off, you know, we're going to eliminate that job, but that person may be bumped down, and this is the person at a lower level is going out the door. You don't accomplish your financial savings. Point is, we may end up, when the board gets the budget, we don't like any of that, we want no layoffs, whatever, you know, we'll make, you're right, those are our decisions. But up front, the administration goes first, and I'm all in favor of giving them the tools to do the analysis, so then when we get the budget and we start asking all those questions, well, they'll be able to answer it. They'll say, we analyzed it, we did this in order to get this number, which I assume they start with a number, right. And so
that's the point.
So right, okay. but it's more important, because we say this is a $100,000 job. I want to save $100,000, eliminate that job. Well, that's one. But who goes out the door? I mean, eliminate the job, and I'm not an expert in this area, but there's people that we go to lay off. They end up, and it's the $50,000. Well, they fill in the $50,000 job, so it's not even a net savings of $100,000. They'll move down and bump someone else out. We thought we eliminated $100,000, and they're still paying $50,000. But whatever it is, you've got to give the administration the tools to do that analysis. So when I ask questions, you ask questions, they can say, because we've got a window to pass the budget, they have the data. So, I mean, I don't want to spend too much money, but whatever dollars they present to it, this is what they need to do the analysis. It's a very complicated analysis. I'm all in favor. They're not going to be giving names out to the public. This is all presumably fairly discreet.
Correct.
And so there's no, someone should be scared, but obviously there's been talk, and the county executive made it very clear that there will be, you know, a certain number of layoffs. I mean, he's made it clear to me in public statements that that's what he's looking at. So now, to back up that statement, it sounds like he's asking for assistance to do the analysis. I mean, without making public specific names, he's got to do that analysis. We may disagree with the whole thing when we get it.
Miss Enlay,
but they've got to go first.
Being brought on just to do this, he's helping me train these employees in this unit to help me administer civil service to over 20,000 Westchester civil service employees. I need his expertise.
Yeah, Mr. Burton, just
Mr. Rimley,
I guess it's a train of thought type of one.
Excuse me?
How long has Mr. Rimley worked for the U.S.?
Almost 22 years. He worked as a local analyst.
All right, then that's the man I knew by the same name when I was town supervisor in Austin. He was terrifically helpful, and more to the point in the discussion we're having here, he was a very humane man.
Yes.
I say was. When I was dealing with him, he was a very humane man. He would work with people who were, when we had situations where individuals would go directly to him, even though they weren't supposed to. He did his job very professionally, and if we're going to bring somebody back in a very sensitive situation like this, it seems to me, not knowing who else you were considering, but that he would be an excellent choice for this. I'm also glad to see that you have presented us with the information that we have been asking for when these waivers have arrived, and we've postponed a couple of them. You've given us the number, you've given us the duration, you have given us the function for which I thank you, and I assume Katie and the administration are responsible for that as well. Thank you for doing this up front for us.
I would just like to say for the record, Ms. Enlay does not need a waiver. Mr. Enlay is not a reporting employee as defined under the Code of Ethics, so he would not need a waiver to come back.
This is not
a reporting employee is someone who has to fill out a financial disclosure form.
I guess I will go into Mr. Harkham and
thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify what I was saying and to address Mr. Agowski's comments, I don't want to be viewed as being uncooperative. I want you to have the tools you need to do your job. I think this is one area where the board and the administration have worked very well together. We've given each other the people and the tools we need to get the job done. So I'm going to support this. I agree with Legislator Rogowski. We need the analysis. I guess what I'm reacting to is a little bit of a separation of powers issue, because twice I've heard the statement, when the board passes layoffs, and I guess I would just prefer that the phrase be turned, if. Okay. We may. We may actually do that. We all know we've got very, very difficult choices to make, and that may be part of the package. But there's 17 people here, all with differing views, who we've got to bring together. So just as one of those 17, I'd prefer to hear if as opposed to when. And it may be when, but that's what I'm reacting to. Thank you. I will support this.
And Mr. Chairman, in the discussion on this particular item and hearing from the Commissioner of Human Resources and the issues that is necessary, the question gets to be in the content of the proposal in the resolution where it says this is what the person is doing. If indeed, as the facts are, that Mr. Inlay is going to be utilized to train people to help support the efforts in HR department, which obviously has more to do than layoffs, et cetera, when you have this particular item that says that this person's being brought in to train people, you know, to do the layoff process, et cetera, that's a far different thing. So, I mean, just from fairness perspective, saying the language that is in here may need to necessarily be modified from a resolution perspective to say what you're really trying to do. You're bringing in someone to help do the transition and the loss of a great deal of personnel in your department, and you're trying to help backfill that and give that training, et cetera. But, you know, the whole thing with the layoffs jumping off the piece of paper, right, is a point that is got to be echoed. To suggest that.
And to that point, there are so many intangibles out there. And the fear of the employees. This is the first time I've seen it, and I've been associated with the county since 1994. It's horrible out there. So efficiencies, you know, ratio, caseload per person. I don't envy your position. It's really true, because at some point, at this table, those are the questions that I'm going to be asking. And it may not be you testifying. It may be somebody on the field that I will ask the administration to provide to tell me how are these cases being managed when 120 cases in our particular department was manageable when I was there. You know, what efficiencies are in place and how double that amount is still doable. You know, and so, again, I agree with everything that has been said here, but at the end of the day, I want direct answers to those questions, because layoffs don't happen by themselves. I know the administration is talking about saving a quarter and giving up three quarters of money in services that would be coming to the county, because at the end of the day, those are the decisions that are being made, you know, and what are we giving up? Keeping in mind that we have interdepartmental, even the DA has been involved in some efficiencies regarding child protective services, forced care, adult protective services, and so on. And just to bring ESS, because that's the department I'm the most familiar with, how are we going to keep those efficiencies? You know, I really want direct questions. So I'm glad you're doing the analysis, and I'm glad you mentioned somebody humane is coming to do it. But I want direct answers to those questions.
Mr. Chairman, and just on that point again, from HR's perspective, that's not the analysis that's right. being done. Right. If I'm understanding the role correct, your analysis is the bump and retreat type thing of like who might be impacted ultimately if a line is eliminated.
That's
right.
Correct. Yes.
So again, in all fairness, you know, just trying to say that the resolution will need some modification just to say this is what you're just bringing someone in to help do your training and transition for this period of time for this amount of money, you know, as opposed to, you know, documenting and voting. I personally will not vote for a resolution that says we're doing layoffs in it, right, which is what this document says we're doing, right? So, That's my, you know, the only concern.
And you're the one that on behalf of the board votes on this resolution, because it's an ANC resolution, Mr. Chairman, so I think you should definitely recommend it.
And the other point in this is just a question to Commissioner Arestano on the is from the medical center. I know that there was a process that was under consideration for them to have their own HR, right?
She's coming in next week.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Ms.
Micah. Thank you. I just wanted to comment. I think a lot of good points were made here at the table, and I certainly agree with many of them. But I also want to comment, and from Carrie's point, from the commissioner's perspective, if you will, I think it's a realistic approach. And I don't think any of us want to lay people off. Certainly, it's a tough economy, but it's also very realistic to reasonable to expect that layoffs certainly are in the forecast, whether we like it or not, whether we agree to it or not. And depending,
well,
you know,
we
not
don't have to agree as a legislature. Well, yeah. So,
okay, well, okay. I mean, just the point being, you know, even if a small portion of this is designated to doing some prep work in advance, I mean, I think that's a very wise way to spend some money. I think if you're going to do it, you have to, the onus is on her as a commissioner to do it in the most effective and most efficient manner. And if, you know, that's what it takes, then I think that's a tool she needs. So
no, I don't think anybody's objecting to that, and I've moved myself way ahead, because regardless, at the end, I mean, human resources is in-house and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. but the ripple effect is going to be felt after.
Of course.
I also like to point out, if we do layoffs, that in addition to reviewing all the files for the people who have been designated to have their job abolished, I also have to review every file for every employee who has just retired to make sure that those positions aren't encumbered from a civil service standpoint. So I'm not just looking at the files.
What does that mean?
Meaning that somebody could have received a promotion. An account clerk could have gone to a case manager. He could have had permanent status as an account clerk, could have been promoted to case manager, right? And he's serving a probationary period. If he doesn't pass probation, he has the right to go back to his old position. That old position could be abolished. It could be one of the positions that have been abolished if we do the layoffs. If that occurs, then he gets put on a preferred list for 4 years because that position is no longer there. That's why I have to analyze all of the files, not just for the people who may be laid off, but also for the people who have been retire and their positions have been abolished, to make sure all those positions aren't encumbered. Is that confusing?
Yes.
It's
a lot of work.
Yeah, I get that's a lot of work.
So I would like the committee to realize that if we do layoffs, I'm not just looking at the number of people who are being
laid off. It's too tough, so you're telling us that we shouldn't do layoffs, huh?
All right, listen, first time before us this year, welcome, and I look forward to hearing even more feedback as to how you intend to accomplish this.
Okay.
Layout.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. No other business to come before this table. Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. Okay, motion seconded. Any objection? We stand adjourned.
I'm doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
True.
So.